The kind of second week that we're going to look at the book of Acts and continuing with the Acts of the Apostles. And if you didn't get last week's, then it's on the YouTube site there. This week we're going to look at Acts chapter 2 verses 1 to 47, and it's called there the Day of Pentecost. And we're going to look there at the meaning of Pentecost in chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, and then Peter preaches to the crowd, and verses 14 to 41, and then finally how the believers form a community, Acts 2, 42 to 47. Although, to be honest, the last section, the third one there, I will not really get onto that. I think we're only going to really do the first two sections. So the third one there, you can get onto and you can read when you're at home. So, but we'll read in a second or two the first few verses. But for those who are on the kind of working together group, you will know that on the that this week, that Derek, it was Monday and Tuesday, had the verses that we're about to look at today. So hopefully you read it then. If not, then we'll read it now. So here we go, looking at Acts chapter 2, and we'll look at the first few verses. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongue of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone began to be filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. In this passage in Acts chapter 2, I believe it has to be interpreted in terms of a passage we looked at last week in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1 verses 4 and 5, where it says, "He commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" So there, in a sense, is the context. They were told to wait. They were told to be there. So they were under instruction of God in terms of what they were actually to do. But also, I think, in terms of understanding what happens here, we've got to look again at the Holy, at the Spirit, the Feast of Pentecost. Again, we touched on it last week, but it's worth just saying another wee bit about that. So last week, as I say, we touched on it. I'll just say another wee bit about it in terms of the Feast of Weeks, because this was one of the great kind of feasts, and it really consisted, I think the barley harvest would appear to be virtually the first harvest that took place at this time. And one of the first things that would happen is that people would go, the farmers would go, and they would collect a sheaf, and then that would be taken and given to the priest, and they would give thanks for that. So it wasn't that they waited and gathered the whole harvest in and gave thanks. No, there was the initial, they gathered in a small amount, a representative of it, and then they gave God thanks for what was about to take place. And really, I think what's happening here in Acts chapter 2 is a kind of precursor to that. That really what was going to happen later on in Acts chapter 2 is that that first harvesting, the first souls within the start of the church were going to kind of be gathered in. And that was going to carry on and continue for another 2,000 years. So back to our text. It says there, "At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem." And we're going to ask, why? Why in that sense were there these devout Jews? Well, one of the simple answers there, they were there for this feast, the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Pentecost. And there were every year three great feasts that they had. So Judaism had three great annual pilgrimage feasts, and there they are. I try to kind of show it this way: Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacle. Passover in the spring, celebrating the deliverance from Egypt, from the nation, and then some 50 days later on, the one that we're looking at specifically at the moment, Pentecost, still within the spring, and then finally Tabernacles that took place in the autumn. And verse 5 talked about there being devout Jews, and it's the word that's on the screen there is the idea of a pilgrimage. So these devout Jews who were would be, they would go from wherever they stayed to Jerusalem. Some of them maybe not travelling all that far at all, but some of them travelling quite a considerable distance. So let's continue the reading as it tells us what these devout Jews heard and what they saw and where they came from. So moving on, verse 6. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running and were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native language. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the area of Libya and around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and all here, these people speaking in our own language about the wonderful things God has done." So what we've got here, and I think I remember saying this last week, about there can be a temptation when you read a whole list of names. For example, I think the example I gave last week was Matthew's Gospel and the genealogy. There can be the temptation to skip over it. But when God has put that into his holy and inspired word, there must be a reason why all these various names are actually included. And again, I think the key to this is back to that verse there. Devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. They were devout in a sense, and that was obvious. Why? Because wherever they had stayed, and some came quite a distance, they came to this pilgrimage feast in Jerusalem. This next slide isn't mine. It's one that I came across, and I think it explains quite a lot. There really is that last section that we read, all the places, there is it in a geographic picture. There's basically where they came from. So you could almost summarise that and talk about the whole kind of Mediterranean world that was known at that point. So this was a whole load, if I can put it that way, of religious Jewish people who would have been waiting on their Messiah to come and would have come because of this particular feast. And what they didn't know at this point, but they're just about to be told, the Messiah that they had been waiting for as a nation, the Messiah that they had been waiting for as an individual, had been sacrificed some 50 days earlier. And Peter is shortly, in the sermon that he's going to speak, is shortly going to explain all of that. And the 3,000 that got saved doesn't give us the exact split, but it would be reasonable to assume that a considerable proportion of these 3,000 went back to all these places in the coming days and weeks. There was one day when I was, just the other day there, when I decided what I was going to say, and this thought came to me, so I hope you'll forgive me. We've been bombarded in recent weeks in terms of, it can become a bit tedious listening to the news, and I'm going to quote Jason Leach here, where he is banging on quite a lot, not so much maybe in recent days, about the R number. Which, and I went and checked this out, it really means the average number of secondary infections produced by a single infected person, the R number. And I remember what he said at one point where he talked about, if the R number is above one, then the infections are going to increase exponentially, is a kind of big word that he used. Now, in a sense, I was thinking about all these people who get saved, and we'll find out obviously this at the end of this chapter, they all went back to all these areas that you can see there. And the R number for Christianity increased exponentially in these early days. Sadly, what we need is the R number in terms of Christianity to increase in our day. In our generation, for you and I to be infectious for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we get other converts, so that the Christian message is taken out, maybe not to that part of the world, but to certainly at least the first stage to Greenock. So in a sense, if you forgive me, I'm going to say that the R number in terms of what we're looking at is far too low. It needs to increase in terms of the number of people that get infected with the Christian faith, if I can put it that way. The list of nations that we kind of read there really reminds us of the list of nations that's given in Genesis chapter 10, which led to the building of the Tower of Babel. And here, God judged these people by confusing their language. So in Acts chapter 2, again, one of the things we've got here is like almost like an exact reversal of the story in Genesis chapter 11. So the nations given in 10 and the story of the Tower of Babel given in Genesis 11. So in Pentecost, God, in a sense, has reversed what happened in Genesis chapter 11. He brought together all these scattered nations, all these ones from all these areas round about, and they came in and they heard their own language, their own tongues, their own dialect. We are then told in Acts chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, they stood there amazed and perplexed. All these people from all that area, what can this mean, they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. And this, of course, then gives the opportunity for Peter and the other disciples to step forward and give what I think must be one of the greatest sermons ever given in the history of the Christian church, other than the sermons given, of course, by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In the book of Acts, there is something like 15 sermons, talks, whatever you want to call them, and it would appear that Peter gave probably around 8 of them, so just over half. There is a sense in which this sermon here, verses 14 to 41, is the launch of the church, where the church actually started. And in terms of results, in terms of what I said earlier on, 4,000 got saved that particular day, taking, as we've already